sisters in Iran who don't know the Lord that are such under such heavy bondage, if they could just know my Jesus. But so be willing and in such joy, you know, leaving their home saying, I can't wait to find somebody to tell about Jesus. I don't care what the government says. And so isn't that awesome? But you and I having the freedom to do that, to meet here tonight, to meet together in church. And church isn't what it used to be. It's just an option now. It's no longer a priority. It's unfortunate. That's not a thing to say anything to condemn anybody, but it's just the truth. It's just an option. It's maybe just a side thing. But I tell you, I love being in the house of the Lord with you guys. I love that dynamic of what God does as a group. It's amazing. And I understand there's people with giftings and abilities and callings outside of the church, amen? And they bring them in, they go out into the highways and the byways and to compel them to come in, amen? Amen and amen. Amen. Keep my face to open. Probably scary for it sometimes. Amen. We're in the book of John, and we are still in chapter 3. I have a feeling we're going to be in chapter 3 for a while yet, but chapter 4 is really good, so I can't wait till we get there. You guys remember the woman at the well? Some good stuff there. So John, this is the book of John, the Gospel of John, session. Anybody know what session we're at? Someone said what? No, not yet. Not yet. Session 15, you missed a week. And so session 15, Emily, and it's John chapter 3, verses 20. Now, I want to go back to a scripture that we have went over, but I want to expand a little bit more on it. So, Lord, help us tonight. Help us. Help me. John chapter 3, verse 20 says, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that his deeds will not be exposed. Well, what's the light? Jesus is the light, amen? Jesus being the light, he is the light of this world. He's the only true light, amen? There's a lot of different, we talked about a lot of different religions, philosophers, ways of life, even corporations now to claim that we have light. We have what you need, but the truth of the matter is that those who love doing their own thing, love their own life, hate the light of the gospel, so they don't come to it because their deeds would be exposed. They love what they're doing. They love their mindset. They love being dependent upon themselves. That's what I love about you or I. Maybe said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Shall they... That's in Matthew chapter 5 or 6. Amen. The Beatitudes. But the one really realized that comes to the Lord, say, man, that said, Lord, I'm poor. I'm needy. I can't do it without. I'm so glad I could not do it without him. Did you know some of the things that you've experienced in your life? It's not good, but God used it to bring you to the gospel. Could you imagine? There's people that... they're rich in themselves. So they say that the rich man not coming to the Lord, or it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle. It's not just talking about a rich person in as far as monies. It's a rich person in their own soul. I don't need that crutch. I don't need that religion. But I am glad that I realize every day, Lord, I need you. I need you. It's a reminder of what I had mentioned before when, remember the Pharisees, Jesus saying to the Pharisees, because you claim to see, your blindness remains. All the religion and all the, even the sacrificing and all the different things that they would do that were religious-wise, they thought that made them right with God, but it actually kept them bound in blindness. All the different things that they were a part of and doing. They thought, this here is what's going to lead me to heaven. This is what's going to help me lead others to the path of righteousness. But actually became a stumbling block for them. Verse 21 says, but the one who practices, remember we talked about the one who practices, the truth comes to the light so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. And we talked about, man, what can that mean? We could have a, I could go around and ask people, what's that mean, practice? What's that mean, practice? Practice the truth comes to the light. Remember I mentioned practice in the Greek means perform repeatedly or habitually, abide, agree, band together, content, have, hold, journeying. It even meant lightening the ship, purged, getting rid of anything that would stand in the way of walking in the light. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm not going to let it weigh me down or keep me back. Does that make sense? As you've grown as a disciple, you're all disciples of Christ here, right? Amen. We're disciples of the Lord. As you grow with him, he shows you things that have been a weight. You said, you know, I don't need that. Even Paul says a lot of these things aren't sinful, but they're not beneficial. They're holding me back. They're getting me off focus. And so I'm going to let that go, or the Lord show me. I'm going to push that aside. It's not going to get in my way. But practicing the truth. But practicing the truth, or what that means, remember we talked about righteousness. You can't obtain righteousness. But attain means what? An effort expanded in order to have gained possession of something, much like acquire. But receive, on the other hand, simply means something has arrived or has been taken into the subject's possession. So knowing first that receiving by faith, I've received his righteousness. You know, what's interesting, if I'm going to try to my best to get to sanctification tonight. Did you know there's three forms of sanctification? Three forms. Well, hopefully we'll get there tonight and we'll talk about that. I'd like to. Three forms of sanctification, because I'd like to really end this evening on what sanctification means. So have you received righteousness? Amen. Have you received righteousness? Amen. Have you received sanctification? So walking in that light, or this thing of practicing, first thing means is I've come to receive from you, Lord. And I keep coming into your light to receive your mercy, your goodness, your grace, your strength. Amen and amen. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Talking a little bit about practicing. Expanding on those. But it says, for those who are in accord with the flesh, we're talking about the flesh. So those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Let me mention, as we'll look through this, as if you read Romans chapter 6, we don't have time, and we read Romans chapter 7, and then going into everything in context. We understand that if you're not born again, right, you don't have his Spirit. And even you can have his Spirit, but be just focused on your own self, right? You can actually get into a place where you're actually focused in your own righteousness, doing your own good deeds. And I'm not saying deeds are bad, but there's also a point of walking in the flesh where I've got this. I can compare myself to others. I can look at what I'm doing and say, I'm doing pretty good. And there's a point where that's okay. But my point is walking in the flesh sometimes means that, hey, you know what? I've got this. I'm doing okay now. I'm all right. Things are going just fine. And you can compare yourself just to what's going on in your life. And that could be a form of just walking in the flesh. Or I used to think that trying my hardest meant to not walk in the flesh. I'm trying my hardest. Verse 6, I didn't read that. For the mind of the set on the flesh is what? Death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. What does that mean exactly? As I said, I used to see this as trying my hardest to not walk in the flesh with my mind. Okay. I'll try not to have any bad habits. I'll try to think as good as I can. I'll try to read my Bibles this thing. I'll try all this thing. and do it on my own. Did you know that can be a form of walking in the flesh? There's nothing wrong, by the way, that there's disciplines of our flesh that are okay, right? Reading the Word of God, being a disciple. But you know, you as far as fighting and the struggle against sin of the flesh, did you know those things will not kill the flesh or mortify the flesh? There's people that did that, and we go back to when we talk about the Pharisees and Sadducees that did that, where textbook following the law to the best of their degree, but were hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost. So walking in the Spirit, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, we know that at first in Philippians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Right? But Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Right? So the first step being, if to walk in the Spirit, you're walking by faith. Do you always feel like you have the Spirit of God in you? But is he there? There's other times you know he's there. But by first thing is, if you're walking in the Spirit, understand that you're walking by faith. By faith. That your sins have been forgiven. Amen? That he loves you. That he has your best in mind. So the first thing as far as walking in the Spirit, it says, I am walking by faith. I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Walking by the flesh could be, I'm doing my best to please him by your works. And could be miserably not walking in his Spirit. It can be where it can wear you out to try to justify yourself by just pleasing him in the acts of the flesh. Does that make sense? But is it okay? I mean, is it okay to like your flesh, by the way? Is it okay? I'm glad you said that. Because some people think that not walking in the flesh means being very brutal to the flesh. Being very, very strict with it. I've learned through the years that being strict with the flesh will not kill it. You know that Ephesians 5:28, it says, so husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. If you love your wife, you love yourself. For no one ever hated his own flesh. You hear that? But nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. So Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. So our nourishing and taking care of our flesh and being in good health and everything, that's okay, amen? That's okay. So we know that walking in the Spirit doesn't mean being brutal with your flesh. That's not it at all. Romans 8:5-8 gives a, or this is, yeah, 5 or 7 and 8, I'm sorry, this Romans 8, it's actually going to be 7 and 8, John. That's my mistake. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. It can't do it for long term. It can't do it, says, for, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what if you read the context of this is doing it on your own ability and strength, you cannot please God. You can't do it. It won't work. You can do it yourself. And understand that once you, we'll talk about the difference, we'll get there as far as trying to make this, clear this up. Your efforts that would say this is walking in the Spirit, when you're doing it to please God in itself, you're standing with God, will not work. Because your flesh can't follow him on its own. It can't please him on its own. It says that it can't even do so. It'll rebel somewhere else. It'll get up. It'll become self-righteous. Or it'll give up or give in. It's one of the two. It either becomes self-righteous and judges others, or says, phooey on this, get me out of here. Then it goes off and does its things. Then it just goes off and just indulges in the things of the flesh. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For the law is just the knowledge of sin. We know the law tells me what's right or wrong. Even the laws, some of the laws of the land anymore, not all of them. Some of the laws of the land tells me what's right or wrong, amen? I mean, when you're on a freeway and it says 75, that seems reasonable. In Germany, it wouldn't. But so they have these laws saying, okay, 75, you know, we can bump it up to 85. So we have laws that we follow that are reasonable. But you can't be justified by God in following the laws at all. Amen. So practicing. If you go into New American Standard and read Romans chapter 7, it says, the things that I want to practice, I can't. And the things I don't want to practice, I do, because of just the knowledge of sin and the law, what it did, it just released sin in my life. You want to get carried away with sin? Get a list of do's and don'ts and do your best to be justified by them, to get God's grace by it, to be strengthened by it, to become joyous by it. It will not happen. It won't happen. So, number one, I want to say, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you are a child of God, right? You have the Holy Spirit if you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? If you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then Romans 8, 9, and 10, it says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's a big statement, isn't it? Then it says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, we could go back to Romans 6, and I won't spend a lot of time here, but it says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. It should. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So when the Holy Spirit comes in you, I've learned as I've grown in the Lord, that comes through sanctification, it's crazy to say this when you're struggling with things. Lord, my body of sin is dead. I am dead to sin. Because the next thing comes in your thought, in your mind is, well, nobody told my body that. Nobody told my body that. Nobody told these impulses and cravings in my life that. But yet you start saying that when you understand proper doctrine of what Paul said. It says, you start saying, Lord, thank you that I'm growing in you, and I am dead to sin. You have to be, because we have this thing, and I have it a little bit further down the line in my notes, but we have this parasite in our flesh. It's called sin. You have a parasite. You will never be able to get rid of it until you die. You'll never be able to get rid of sin in the flesh until you get your new body. It's a parasite. So with this, what Paul was saying is there's this parasite of sin, but it's in something. If it's something and dead, then does a dead man respond to a parasite? It does it. So understanding this as you're growing, saying, Lord, I've got struggles. I've got these impulses, things I'm still dealing with. But Lord, I'm going to start declaring it out of my mouth by faith that I am dead to sin. And as you begin to grow in that, as you begin to grow in him, as these things start weakening, because you're saying, Lord, I can't kill this. I can't master the flesh on my own. It's got to be dead, because he is alive in me, and therefore sin shall not reign in my mortal bodies, what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. It shall not reign. And spending decades saying, I don't understand that, because it's not working, because I'm alive and well. It's got control. But first having that right place is like, I am righteous in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His Spirit lives in me, is growing in me, and empowering me as I quit believing some of the lies in the tapes of my mind that I've either learned or been told, or the enemy lies to me and tells me. Then I start saying, yeah, but the Word of God says I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin, Lord. The next day when you fell, Lord, I'm dead to sin. I'm the righteousness of God. I am dead to sin. A month ago when you're still struggling with it, Lord, I'm dead to sin. 6 months, a year. Lord, I believe what your word says, and I thank you that it's going to manifest in my life because this is what the scripture says. This thing of being dead to sin, or we read things in the Bible, we think, well, that means right now. But even Paul said, he's even said, hey, this thing has got a hold of me. I don't understand it. I don't quite get it, this grace, this power in my life. So when he says, hey, you are dead to sin, these are certain things that take a lifetime and revelation from Jesus Christ, a revelation of a person who loves you, a person who loves me, who wants to have a relationship with me, who wants to speak with me, who wants to heal me, wants to deliver me, wants to show me more and more of his goodness, more and more of his grace, more and more of his power, is telling me in his word that I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Lord, you have to show me what that means. You can't read that and understand it. It has to be something that Jesus Christ reveals to you. If it could have been taught, I would have picked it up a long time ago, perhaps. If we could have put it in a bulletin in the church with 6 points, I could have just added it to my life. I would have been able to understand that. But it's a revelation that he gives to me of what it means to be dead to sin. And as you grow in him, you start understanding that, and you get growth in areas and say, wait a second, I am dead to that now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I am dead to that. Sometimes people will do things. I'll just give an example. Of what I'll see men do, and I'm not saying this is bad, but this isn't the final answer. My wife has all the passwords to the computer. I can't get on the computer. I can't do this and do that because I'll look at things I shouldn't look. And as long as I don't have that password, I'm okay. But that's not the right way to look at it. I'm not saying that's not a place to start, but here it is. Jesus, I'm dead to sin. This thing isn't going to have control over me for my whole life. I'm set free. I don't want this having dominion over me. I'm dead to this thing. I'm tired of the misery and the depression and different things that come on my life when sin is reigning in my mortal flesh and in my soul realm. We'll talk about that too. We're not going to get very far. Number two. You have the Holy Spirit. Number two, you are renewing your soul. You are training your mind, will, and emotions through the Holy Spirit. So you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're born again with the Holy Spirit. You have a new nature of the Holy Spirit, but there's that soul realm. There's that heart, mind, will, and emotions. I like what Psalms 23 says. David talking about God's Spirit bringing healing. Did you know God's Spirit and truths bring healing to emotions? Yeah, absolutely. What Jesus said when he wrote that scroll, when he read from Isaiah, I forget if it was chapter 61, who heals the brokenhearted. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. Or what King James says, I will not want. That's powerful. He lets me, and this is not talking about physically. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Where's this green pasture at? It's in your soul. It's in your soul realm. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides. See in your mind. Have that imagination. God gave us an imagination. You know, it's powerful for him. Can you see some calm waters? Maybe a boat on there? That's my soul. That's what he wants for my soul. Green pasture. That's life. That's not a desert. That's not hot, thirsty, death, barely surviving, wear some shade. No, that's just think of in your mind a green path. That means there's provision. There's water. There's rain. There's a perfect amount of sunshine. Can you see it? He leads me beside the green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. This is it right here. He restores my soul. Areas where I constantly am asking the Lord in my life, restore my soul day by day. Restore my soul. Lord, restore my soul. Your spirit brings restoration in the name of Jesus. No man on earth can restore a person's soul but Jesus Christ. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He guides me in the path, my soul, my flesh, my body. He guides me in the path of righteousness. He leads me and guides me. He exposes the traps of the enemy. He guides me into truth. Part of that, I am dead to sin, is him guiding me in righteousness. That stinking parasite can eat all at once. I'm dead. Does that make sense? I mean, not literally. But sin will never, going back, sin will never die in your body. But you'll die to it. You're dying to it, or you are already dead to it. He guides me the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this means no matter what's going on in my life, and that now he's going to the outside. He's going outside of the soul. He's going outside of the body. Amen. And he's saying, for even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even though I'm walking through these things, where are the still waters? The outside of it, outside they could be raging. They could be raging. It could be dark. But inside, I've got still waters. Father, we thank you for still waters in our souls. Father, we receive of those still waters right now in Jesus' name. Just say, Lord, I receive that. I want that. Saints, I'm no different than you. There's areas I need still waters in my soul. There's areas where I need green pastures, and Father, we declare that over our lives in the name of Jesus, through the power and the understanding, through the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Father God, what the world cannot provide, what no man could provide us, but you provided by the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, Lord. You provided the ability for still waters in green pastures, and you restore my soul. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father. We thank you for speaking to us by your Spirit tonight, Lord. Lord, we don't want just a few gimmicks and good ideas and things we can. Lord, we want to experience those still waters. We want to experience victory in these areas of our lives as you continue to grow us in you in the name of Jesus, we pray. I already said, number three, your body's dead for sin. I've already mentioned that. I got ahead of myself in my notes. It says, A person who determines to bring the flesh under control by the effort of the flesh will end up with the flesh under sin's control. Again, a person who determines to bring the flesh under control by the effort of the flesh will end up with the flesh under sin's control. Even in Romans 7:18, Paul said, For I know that good does not dwell in me. He says, that is in my flesh. That's that parasite I was talking about, right? For the willing is present in me, but the doing good is not. Not in ourselves. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It's God's grace, amen? God's power, his grace is unmerited favor. That while you're still a screw-up in areas, he loves you and indwells you and is there to bring you victory and grow you. Under the law, you couldn't have that. It was just rolling up your sleeves and getting to work. That doesn't work anymore. It's radical, but it does not work anymore. I think if there's a Dr. Andrew Farley, you might want to write his name, Dr. Andrew Farley. The Grace Message, called The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley. And he's the one that says, sin in your flesh is a parasite you will not get rid of until you get your new body. Wonderful, simple messages on grace, on God's grace, God's goodness. He's really got a He's really good at bringing that out. That's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, right? First Peter 4, 1 through 3. Arm yourself with this mind, it says. This is probably where we're going to have to end, unfortunately, tonight, I think. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, it says, arm yourself also with this same purpose. Because the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human lust, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of indecent behavior, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking, parties, and wanton idolatries, and the list could go on and on. So what is he saying there? First, he says, look, where they were at that time. Number one, be willing to suffer pure persecution for Christ's sake. It can bring suffering. We just talked about some of these churches around the world right now that when they can, there can be suffering for the sake of Christ. I think about the guy with the bakery in Colorado. Boy, he's been, Lord bless that man. Be with him, strengthen him, and give him the victory. And Lord, I pray this harassment by the enemies, what it is, Father God, would stop in Jesus' name. This is just an example. So he's saying here, arm yourself with the same mind, that we'd be willing to stand up for what's right. Amen? But number two, suffering the consequences. He's talking about suffering the consequences of sowing to the flesh. You could say this to yourself. I've sown enough to the flesh that I'm done with that. It's brought heartache. You ever had where things you've done, it just brought heartache. You're done with it. You finally said, I've suffered enough with this. I'm done with it. No more. Sometimes with the flesh, it just, areas of our life, sometimes it just like you've got to get tired of it. You've got to be desperate and say, I am done with this. It's not helping me. It's not bringing anything good for my life, Lord. I am finally done with this. Am I the only one's experienced that? He that has suffered in the flesh is through with sin. I'm tired with that. My head hurts finally. You bang your head against the wall enough, right? And finally said, I am not going to do that anymore. And the whole time, God is with us. He loves us. But sometimes it has to be our decision to say, I am done with this. And thank God that hopefully it doesn't take us too long in certain areas. You know, as you grow in him, you're just saying, Lord, I'm done with this. Doing things my way. I'm done with that. I'm pursuing you. But my soul is going to start being trained in righteousness and in peace and strength, and I'm pursuing you. If you are performing spiritual practices in order to be righteous, all you're doing is trying to outrun or kill the flesh. You can't do that. You're already sanctified, by the way. I'm going to go through these three things. Sanctification. We got time, right? You guys will give me 5 more minutes. Bob, would that be okay? Did you know you're sanctified, but you're not? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Let me mention this. 1 Corinthians, you are sanctified in your spirit. Right? It says to the. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians church. You were just. If you could write a message on Corinthian church, it'd be called Church Gone Wild. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says to the church of God in Corinth, to these crazy people, I'm telling you, to those sanctified, past it, set apart, made holy. In Christ Jesus, who are selected and called as saints. Wow, God's people. And you think he would start talking after that how wonderful they are. But that's not the case at all. But we don't have time to go there. You guys, many of you know that already. So you have a spirit that is sanctified, that is already, by the way, sanctified means our position with God, our purpose in God, and it's being set apart to God. Sanctified means our position with God, our purpose in God, set apart unto God. And we have a spirit, soul, and body. And sanctification has to do with all three of them. So the first one, sanctified, 1 Corinthians 1:2, meaning that you have been sanctified already. Your spirit has been sanctified. You know that if you've been at this church any amount of time, your spirit is as holy as it's ever going to be holy. And then you have the part of your soul realm, your mind, will, and emotions that are being sanctified or matured. And this is Romans 12:2. It says, and do you know this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what that part of what it says in Philippians, the working out of your salvation with fear and trembling. What's in your spirit working out in your soul and being seen by the world. So this sanctification is what we call our holiness and godliness as far as our soul realm. You got you're holy and pure in your spirit, but you're also working out that holiness and godliness in your soul realm. Don't tell me you're perfect. Don't tell me you've never sinned. Don't tell me that everything you've done is just as pure as a driven white snow. You're still being sanctified in your soul realm as you grow in Him. That's called holiness. As far as what people see, holiness, God's love, His goodness coming out of your soul realm. And then you have this thing we talked about, the third thing, your flesh. The final thing that's going to be sanctified is your flesh. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53 says, behold, I am telling you a mystery, Paul says. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And if I went on, I could do it, and I do have enough time I wanted to mention. So we have the sanctification of the spirit, sanctification process in the soul realm, and we have the sanctification when we get our new body. Remember, because we're dead to sin. There's a parasite that you can't get rid of until you get your new body. You can never make your body behave. So I want to say this. Is there a place for the law? What's Romans 2:12 says? For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Because it says, and let me go on to Romans 2:14-15. It says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law, Jewish law, right, instinctively perform the requirements of the law, these, though not having the law, are law to themselves, like their conscience, right? And that they show the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience testifying, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So you've heard Paul even mentioned lawlessness. We're dealing in our society right now with lawlessness. So is there a place for the law? Well, we have laws in the land we desperately need enforced. What if we just walked around and said to everybody who's a criminal, it's just great. You got God's grace, go out. Just, you know, gosh, we're not taking you to jail. It's just God's grace. Well, they don't know anything about God's grace. They have the punishment of the law. 1 Timothy 1:6 in the Amplified as we wrap it up. Laws are needed for society. Look, this is great stuff. It says now we know without any doubt, Paul says this, that the law is good if one uses it lawfully and appropriately. Understanding the fact that law is not enacted for the righteous person, amen? The one in right standing with God, but for lawless and rebellious people, for the ungodly and sinful. And he starts a list that it's much more comprehensive than just the Ten Commandments, right? For the ungodly and sinful, for the irreverent and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for sexual immoral persons, for homosexuals, for kidnappers and slave traders, for liars, for perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which I have been entrusted. You know, and if everybody was a mature born-again believer, what laws would we need? You think about that. If everybody was a believer, if everybody was as righteous as you, what laws would be needed? We wouldn't need laws in society, really. Maybe a speed limit. I have to admit, I don't often believe in those. But I need prayer for that. So there's when there's no law, there's a law within even the Gentile of right and wrong. And there's got to be more to this world than what I see. So many people have come to Christ without knowing the Jewish law. They just know, hey, man, I need something. A lot of times it's sins of the flesh and things that have gone in their lives. They say, man, I'm miserable, right? Or whatever the case is, and they come to the Lord, right? And they learn about his goodness. So do we need laws in society? Yes, absolutely. We need the ones we have in force. And then when those people come to Christ and his grace and mercy, did they have to memorize the code of laws? No, but they know they're not going to commit murder. They don't have to study thou shalt not murder. It's already in their heart. They've got God's love. They're not going to be that way, right? They're not going to murder. They're not going to the different laws, because God has placed that by his Spirit in their hearts. Amen. Can you stand up with me? Amen, Father. How many people here are dead to sin? I'm not saying how many of you here don't have struggles, but really, how many are dead to sin? Lord, I thank you I'm dead to sin. I am dead to sin. Lord, we are dead to sin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So, Father, we thank you that, Lord, you would reveal what that means in our lives. Lord, as we things that we struggle with as we're growing in you, help us to look at things rightly, Lord. Understanding, Lord, you have made me dead to sin. Make that a revelation of how that works for me. So we thank you for that tonight, Lord, how we love you. Thank you for the remainder of this week, Lord. We thank you for still waters. Father, we pray for still waters. And we thank you for green pastures. And we thank you for restoring our soul for your name's sake. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring our soul for your name's sake. And we love you and we worship you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.